Hello and welcome to SoxCast episode 188, the podcast that will validate all of your problematic worldviews. How's it going, internet land? It's been a hot minute since we've been together, but you gotta understand that we recently just got the new SoxCast mansion finished. That project's been, and we've just kind of been deservedly living it up. We have been going at this now for a number of years, and we thought, you know, it's time for a new mansion. So we bulldozed the old one. We said, fuck any homeless people that want to try and live here. That's not what land is for.
Never mind.
I know the Kickstarter funds were supposed to go towards making the podcast better, but we decided this would be a better use.
Yeah, all $30 million of them.
I like how, like everybody just kind of has it wrote in their Twitch profile. It's just like, all proceeds go toward making the stream better. And then you come back 3 years later, and it's like, you're still broadcasting at 480p, and your microphone still sounds like a rock band mic. What's going on here? You've got 300 subscribers, and this stream still looks kind of the same. I joke. I love you, streamers. You're great. I'm one of you.
I don't.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. But that's fine. I just don't watch them, so it's fine.
There you go. I mean, we watch, like, Lord BBH. Lord BBH is a good
one. I mean, Lord BBH is kind of... Yeah, he's a world unto his own.
Yeah, he is a world unto his own. He's not... I don't consider him a streamer guy. You know, he's not hopping on trends. He's playing Bosconian for high score, you know? That's my kind of guy right there.
He is a precious resource on the internet.
Absolutely.
A vault of knowledge.
Oh, God. The way he will just pull out random-ass fucking arcade games from, like, 1982, and he's just like, where did you ever have the time to find that?
Find that and then learn it.
And then learn it. And then, you know, and be able to high score / 1cc it, too. Because, of course, I don't think the man met an arcade game he can't 1cc.
Yep.
Just don't ask him to play Metal Slug 3.
I got my Twinkle Star Sprites 1cc finally this like a couple weeks ago, and I consulted the BBH archives
for that. Details. Yes, that is exactly what I do anytime I get a wild hair up my ass and want a 1cc in an arcade game. The first thing I do is just go and see, like, all right, what did BBH do?
Did BBH 1cc it? That's step one.
Yeah.
Because if not,
then it's impossible.
That's a worrying sign.
Yeah. So, to my immediate virtual right, he is the answer to the question, what if having a big penis was an Olympic sport? It's Rhett.
You know, it's hard having all these gold medals hanging off of it.
I was going to say they invented a new platinum medal just for you.
The platinum medal, and they all just kind of
they
dangle.
Said, we can't keep doing this every year. Permanent winner.
I do kind of like the image, though, of, like, just gigantic dong stretched out in front of the podium, and it's just got a whole fucking Christmas tree's worth of medals just hanging on it, like, intermittently. And then you've got the platinum. The platinum one is right up there at the head.
They gave the platinum medal so that Rhett could stop competing and just be, like, undisputed world champion until he dies.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the chess world right now, where people get the world champion title, and then they lose it, like, 6 months later. They just get it and then completely lose motivation. And a big part of it right now is a lot of folks are just like, well, I only got it because Magnus Carlsen isn't competing.
That's a good... Yeah. Yeah, and that's very much the same thing.
That is Rhett.
Yeah.
That's everybody competing in the biggest dick Olympic sport.
Yeah.
With Rhett.
Yeah.
The Magnus Carlsen of having a big dick. Magnum Carlsen. Right?
Magnum Carlsen. Yeah. That's what they call him. You doing all right, Rhett?
Doing great.
I mean, the start of these episodes always have to make you feel great. They've got to be a big. They got to fluff you up real good to make you. You know.
You know.
We always always start the episode giving you a bit of a fluff. So you've always got to be feeling good when you come into these shows.
That's the plan. Yeah.
To my immediate virtual left, he's got soul, but he's not Korea. It's Chomp.
Official SoxCast fluffer.
Official SoxCast fluffer. There you go. It's a new role on Discord. If you'd like to join it, just DM John and let us know, and he'll get you right in there.
I'm here to say that whatever that problematic worldview that you thought, there's no way they'd validate that, I'm here to say, we're here. We do.
We're here. We do.
You're safe here.
We this see is a safe you. Space. We see you. We see you.
John, what the hell have you been up to?
Big sip of my coffee. Released a video game.
You did? What did you do? You released a video game? What? In 2026?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Story time, folks.
I released Windswept Dial on my itch page. I've been... So, about half my itch page came out after I started what was the initial version of this. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what, like, at least 5 years?
Oh my god, wait a minute. I think there's there might be a tile error on my thumbnail.
That's good! No, you gotta keep it! You gotta keep it! That's good!
Oh, I wish I was dead. Okay, whatever. This is a game. This is a game about exploring a verdant island, and it is a collection of 60x60 tile RPG Maker 2003 maps made with RTP graphics and lightly edited RTP graphics. It is a pretty island full of people you can talk to, and the story is that your animals got loose overnight, and your boyfriend is in a panic, and you're going to go find all the animals on the island. So there's 12 animals, and you want to explore this big old island and find all your animals.
Oh, nice.
It's a cozy game. I made a cozy
game. Oh, it's a cozy game. All right.
I made a nice cozy game. A couple people are having a little bit of trouble. I did go out of my way. I wanted almost everything to have like multiple paths to it. So if you miss one path to it, you have another chance to find your way through the maze. It is still a very big maze. It's a very big maze. So the times that people have taken range from like 2 hours to five. So this is the largest game I've ever released.
Wow.
I like it quite a lot. I think it turned out good. Mm-hmm. It's just, this is what happens when you start working on a thing without really a clear vision, and you realize, and then you kind of get a vision, and then you're like, man, it would be a lot of work to finish this vision.
Uh-oh.
Maybe I can trim it down a little bit and kind of approach it in a different way. And then you keep doing that until you've got like... The place I arrived at, I feel really good about, but it was so fucking circuitous. And I'm just like, okay, don't approach a project like this again. Just give up.
Also, first time the word circuitous has ever been used on the SoxCast, folks. Ring, ring, ring. There's a record.
Are you sure?
Mark it on your calendar.
Like, that seems like a John word.
No, circuitous. That's the first one. Unless somebody wants to go back and verify, I'm pretty sure that's the first.
So we don't have too much more to talk about because neither of you played it yet. Not that I keep track.
And no fucking pressure. No fucking pressure or anything, guys. Friends who I host a podcast with, who I made a video game for.
I've played it. I just didn't beat it.
Yeah.
I may be the type of player who would like an included map.
Okay, I'm working on it.
Because it's very big. Also, I did mention to Polly, like, hey, is this, like, super zippy? And it's like, no, your RPG Maker is just running at, like, 120 frames per second.
Mm. Yep, I put that on the page to adjust your refresh rate or use RPG.
I got to put that in. I've had to put that in all of my games that were made in Game Maker 1.44 because it listens to, you know, it's like, no, I want to run on the frame rate of the monitor. And I'm just like, I've got to put that annoying goddamn notice at the start of every game. And I don't think I have to do it with Game Maker 2. I think Game Maker 2 is better at that now. So
yeah,
I've had no complaints anyway, because I've not put that warning on any of my new games that were made in Maker 2. So,
oh, I forgot you'd move to that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Is it treating you good?
Oh, I like it a lot, actually. There's a lot about Game Maker 2 that... There were growing pains. It was very much like, I already like doing it this way. And Game Maker 2 was like, you can't do it that way anymore. And I had to just kind of, you know, ease into it. But yeah, like, I think ever since Yomu Yomu Ball and Plus, nice. I've been using Game Maker 2 exclusively. I still do upgrades for Rika Furude Simulator, but I still do those in Game Maker 1.4 because I don't want to bring that over and then have to go back and try to fix all the stuff that doesn't line up anymore. Because that game's kind of too big to do that now.
Bug secretly breaks whenever you actually roll all sixes and just re-rolls.
And just re-rolls. Or deletes the file. Starts over.
Yeah. Hardest possible bug.
Yeah.
Bug to diagnose.
How the fuck do I fix that? I don't know. I guess this project's dead.
Let's test it. No. That's my angst.
Angst. There was so much angst leading up to this one.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Oh, the game you've worked on for like 5 years had angst.
No. Yeah. The journey of releasing a long form project that has been in development over a number of years, that has been a consistent, you know, that has been
thorn
a consistent
in
thorn in your side, and it's just like, no, I just want this damn thing out.
And the thing is, like, people will. When anybody else on social media like finishes a game they work on for 5 or 6 years, they're like, play this game. It's five. I worked on it for so long. It's so good. Da, 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 da. And I'm just like,
here's the goddamn game.
I'm ashamed. I don't consider this something to brag about. It means I approach this wrong.
Yeah, that is how I typically look at it as well. It's just like, you know, like, yeah, I kind of goofed here. I did an oopsie poopsie.
I don't think it's reflected in the work. I think the work is very strong.
Sure, yeah.
But basically it was like a couple months at the start, and then like once a year I put another month or two into it. So it's like it's like a 1 year project stretched out over 6 years.
That's so long.
And it's just because it's so much content, it's so much map. And then I made so much map without realizing. Like, oh, that makes the work of populating it with stuff.
You gotta make so much more stuff.
And designing it and bug testing it, all that stuff is now exponentially harder because it's so big.
Yep. Like something on map 1 could break something on map 24.
Well, the thing is, every map transition is just programmed automatically. Mm-hmm. So there's like 50 map transits, like sides to a given map, because they're all lined up on a grid, and you run from left to right or up to down and you go to the next map. And that's programmed automatically with one common event, so that I don't have to, I didn't have to line the sides with individual teleport events.
Oh, that's good. Miserable. Yeah, that would have been misery.
But it means that every single map transit, any tile on the edge.
If
there's a tile in the way and not a tile in the way on the other side.
You could soft lock. Yep.
So there's still we found 3 soft locks after release. I did a lot of work.
It's 3 now.
You know what? With as many maps as that game has, 3 soft locks. That's
most
not
people
bad.
Haven't run into any. It's fine.
That's not bad.
Fucking AAA, really. Compare with how like fucking AAA games release nowadays.
Yeah, like they'll put up with fucking AAA games needing to do 140 gigabyte install on day one. I think we can put up with the possibility in a game where you can save anywhere that maybe you should probably save every now and again.
And I added an autosave every time you find
Every time you find an animal. So yeah, there you go.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Look, I'm not in marketer mode because I put so much fucking time into.
Yeah, you can't market this game because you're just done. It's like, no, this thing is done. It's out. It speaks for itself, dude. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've really enjoyed the feedback. People have had a nice time. It is a little bit harder than I expected, but not like over the top. It's just hard because it's a big map. And if you don't explore very closely each area before moving on, then if you miss something, then you're like, well, shit, the last animal could be anywhere on the island.
Yeah.
That's just the normal Yuminiki pacing.
Yeah. Like,
this is still much easier than Yuminiki.
It's like trying to hit the last block in a game of Arkanoid or Breakout. Uh-huh. It's just like, oh, god damn it, it could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm. But I also feel like that's kind of an important part of the play, because it's like, if you just know that there's like, if there was like a map in game or something like that, and you know that you could just track everything down, I would worry that it would just kind of be a checklist.
I think you wanted to absolutely avoid the game being a checklist, because it's more about the exploration and observing the maps and kind of like a Skipmore / Faerun kind of sense.
There's no secret walls.
No secret walls.
anything hidden behind trees is optional. It's all like just explore closely and you'll be fine. And again, most places have multiple paths to them. It's just a little bit tricky. You got to pay attention, and I think that little bit of cursed energy helps it. I think that's what helps it not just be like ugly a short hike.
Ouch!
Wow.
Were you waiting on that to be an itch.io comment down the road?
I mean, I really like a short hike. I played it about halfway through this game's dev.
Yeah, it has
a lot. Yeah, I like it a lot. It has a lot more going on. It has like there's some money. There's a lot more mini games and whatnot.
Yeah.
I like that. My cozy runaround game is just a big fuck off map with no combat or puzzles. I think that's nice. I think it leans into just being like a pure maze more.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, another John Mays game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of his next game.
That should just be the name of your next game.
It's as pure a maze game as I've ever made. I'm very pleased with that. I want to make more mazes. As a kid, I drew mazes on graph paper all the time. I just love a good maze. And I think that the movement mechanics in Windswept Isle make the maze more nuanced than you expect. There's a little bit of a line-less element to it.
Got you.
I think it's nice. Rhett can appreciate that now, because Rhett plays short games.
Yeah, yeah.
So that made me happy. Go play it. It's at farawaytimes.itch.io. You'll make me very pleased if you comment. I'm going to try to get a map together before too long. But you know, you can play it before that comes out and then be a hardcore parkour pro gamer for life.
Yeah. Could quit your day job and just you know, relax, you know, live in your
stream John's game all day.
Live in your giant mansion that your indie game that caught on and won the IGF you know.
There you go.
Live in all of that luxury. You deserve it.
Exactly. That's me now. And also, I gave up on my other. I pointedly dropped my other extent project.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no ongoing creative projects right now.
I honestly have
a blank slate.
Honestly,
crazy.
Honestly, envy you.
It's been 7 years. I haven't been in this. I haven't been here.
Picture of old Snake.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna. This is the most like post-release depression I've ever dealt with.
Oh yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all. I bet.
God in heaven. I was like walking around after like Wednesday, just like it's all fucking pointless.
What's the point?
Fucking useless.
Who fucking cares?
Just fuck off. Fuck everybody. Fuck everything off.
I'm gonna go crash out on Twitter.
I did not do that. I
thank God.
Kept a lid on it. And got over it, which felt good. But man, don't work on games that long. It's silly.
Yeah, not healthy.
It's not good. It's no good. Maybe even if it works out, it's no good.
Yeah, like even when you're done, it's just like shit. I don't feel better. Shit. I spent 7 years on this.
At the end of the day, it's just one more story in my arsenal, and yeah. I'm very glad. They kept releasing other things. I kept releasing, let's see, 5, 8, 11, 14, 17, 18, 19, 20 things on itch.
That is too many video games.
Between when I start, two of them are pros, 18 games and two pros things between now and when I started what turned into Windswept Isle.
Yeah, I was actually counting that myself. I was like, oh, right, yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Holy
well, 18
shit. Yeah.
Plus the Kids Cookies, Kids Cookies. Expansion, and then yeah. Action Sketches is 4 games, actually.
Yeah, that's 4 games, so good lord, man.
So 22 games and 2 pros.
20! Jesus. Hey, man, Windswept Isle has just got so much behind it. Holy crap, dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it took the route, the game took the route it needed to be what it needed to be, and I'm pleased about that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have my last 3 games on itch are RPG Maker games.
RPG Maker games. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
We're bringing RPG Maker back, baby.
So while depressed, I've been doing a pretty good thing to do when you're depressed, which is replay a favorite RPG.
Yeah.
I started Final Fantasy VII, the Shinra Archaeology Cut translation on PS1. So it doesn't have the play changes. It just changes the translation.
Just the translation. Nice.
I started that last week, and I have blazed through it. I'm on disc two now. I paused right before the big... Tifa and Cloud just fell in Medeal, and we're about to have the
live stream moment.
Yeah, we're about to have the big live stream moment, which is maybe like best part of the game. I can't
such
remember.
That is such a heady sequence for 1997 in a video game. I remember just being gobsmacked of what I was seeing the first time I played that game, you know, even as like a 17-year-old, I had, you know, I had already kind of, you know, enjoyed a lot of heady type material, but like seeing that in a game and it being done the way that it was with all the surrealistic imagery and all the exposition, it's just like, that is such an incredible moment in that game.
It's very, well, it's very strong, I assume. I put it on pause so I can talk to you fuckers. So excited to get back to that. Instead, I got to finish the two huge materia quests on Fort Condor.
Oh God!
Right before.
Oh my God!
I did. I learned my lesson from last time. I like tried to play the mini game for an hour, and this time I just put it on fast forward and then fought the boss and it was over in 10 minutes.
That is. I think you can still get the big materia even if you do that. I don't even think you have to win.
That's really funny because the boss is easy. I just it's over so
quickly.
Yeah,
it's like the Fort Condor is so ass.
I the last time I played it for an hour and then the enemy finally hit me and it was like and I just fought the boss and it was over and I was like, wait, I could have just done that the whole time.
Yeah. two rounds max done.
Jesus. So I think there's two threads that can go down with Final Fantasy VII. There's the sort of snooty, negative read, not negative, just like measured read, and then just kind of freaking out over all the stuff that rolls. Let me do the measured read first, which is I played this right after replaying Chrono Trigger last year. I played Mario RPG for the first time. I played. Replayed Final Fantasy V and VI since last playing Final Fantasy VII. I played Live Alive. And I think a lot of the shape and play of FF7 is really just doing the same shit.
But like they had a jam that they knew how to jam really well.
Yeah. It's a very strong game shape. But even then, like, It feels like there are parts that feel like they're running on fumes a bit. I think that I honestly felt that playing Chrono Trigger a little bit, where I was like, oh, okay, another, there's three guys and one of them revives the other two or fight or, we're doing, it's a weakness changing boss. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of feels like they burned through a lot of their best boss ideas and set piece ideas in like Final Fantasy 3, 4, and 5.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then they just kind of were like, all right, we can just kind of reskin these over and over now.
Do that again. We got the battle scripts hanging around. Just throw them in there.
Yeah. Oh, let's do an original boss for this one. And then you get Son of Sun. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Oh no, maybe let's not do that.
let's go back to reskinning Hein.
Yeah.
Like literally the final boss of Chrono Trigger is Omega Sisters.
Yeah, it is. It literally is.
I think that was also true of a lot of Final Fantasy VI. And then Final Fantasy VII is just like, all right, I'm whacking on the boss, and then it dies, or it does like some stuff that I already know. The materia is very similar to the Esper stuff in VI,
just a lot slower,
much slower.
Then each character just kind of becomes what you want them to be instead of. Really individual, like in Chrono Trigger. Or
yeah, like they're blanks. They're very much characters are very much just blank slates, with only their limit breaks really being the big thing that differentiates them.
Yeah, I keep switching. Go ahead.
I remember FF8, like, everyone is just the same once you junction them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can literally, like, bulk move junctions between characters.
Yeah. You just trade whole sets around.
Yeah. So, like, if I'm already feeling this way about FF7, then, like, 8 and 9, I'm just like, all right, we're still doing ATB. We're still kind of doing the same shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah. So, the play stuff. There's a lot of Mario RPG in this. Like, Chrono Trigger had mini games. FF6 had mini games. FF7 has
mini games. I remember replaying it maybe like 5 or 6 years ago and just went, wow, I don't know how I didn't remember this game just being mini game central. It's like that first disc is so packed with mini games.
Press O to slap.
There you go. It's the best one. It's the best one.
Alternate triangle and up to alternate the train. The train things. It's adorable. It's really cute.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. And again, also, that's Mario RPG.
Yeah, that's literally just Mario RPG.
Roll, you're running on the barrels down the river.
No, I'm just picturing Cloud in Super Mario World or in Super Mario RPG now on the little.
It wouldn't look out of place.
It wouldn't at all. You could see a little pudgy Cloud Strife.
Running on top of a barrel. Yeah. While Koopas fling coins at him. So, like, I think there's something to the read of, like, okay, we kind of have taken the same basic storytelling shape, and we're doing it again. Some parts of it are a teensy bit phoned in, and also everything is much slower, because we're on PS1 now. Yeah. Every fight has a big loading screen. Mm-hmm. Every menu has a big loading screen. The summons take between 30 and like 80 seconds.
That's why I do not use summons anymore when I play Final Fantasy VII. I just like,
it's very slow.
I don't care.
Just use Comet. Cometica. I just got the Ultima Materia again.
There you go. Very pretty. Very pretty.
So I think that's the negative read. Is you can kind of read this as a little bit of a greatest hits.
Yeah.
Which should tell you how I feel about everything that came after.
Square is playing the hits, but they're doing it on the biggest stage, because Final Fantasy VII was the biggest RPG ever. It was slated to be the biggest thing. You know, if you're putting on the biggest concert of your life, you're gonna fucking play the hits.
Mm-hmm. They sure brought their A game on a lot of fronts there.
Absolutely. So
it's a combination of things where they are using this language that they'd honed to a razor's edge over many, many games. And also it's 3D. And also it has big, pretty FMVs. And also there's a girl with really big boobs.
They're so big. And
it's like, okay, it makes perfect sense that this was the smash hit.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some things that I think belong to Final Fantasy VII. I think Midgar belongs to Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking gorgeous, huh? Jesus.
Gorgeous. You run a gorgeous video game.
Yeah. I can't think of any like huge setting in a game previous to that on nearly the same level. Where towns were towns. This is like an entire world in one town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The entire first act being like when you leave that town and you're on the world map and you're playing Final Fantasy. That, it's like,
yeah.
Oh fuck!
Wait a minute.
World map in this game.
I liken that moment to the first time I played Super Mario Brothers and I saw the screen scroll the first time ever. It was just like, what do you mean? There's more.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's. You get that moment because without that, you still have a whole Final Fantasy game to play.
Yeah.
But with Midgar, you're starting off just completely grounded in this really gorgeous setting, just nonstop great set pieces. Mm-hmm. Some really tense, like scary moments, great character work. They're completely on fire.
Yeah.
In all the ways that they've ever been good.
Yep.
Through that whole opening.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking climax, I like point by point, there was a couple points where I like stopped the screen and was like, I already told you all about this one, but like the bit where Aerith's adoptive mom like gives her backstory.
Oh, that's so good.
The screen it's not just that she, it could have been so easy to just do it as text boxes.
Yeah, that's not what they do.
They never just do it as text boxes.
No.
They, ever in the game, it's always like the Ghast videotapes, for instance.
Yep.
But the screen, they like scroll the screen halfway up and show baby Aeris running down the stairs that you were already saw earlier, and then it scrolls back down and your party's gone, and like it's seamless.
It's
really cool direction.
That is that is amazing video game direction for 1997. Uh-huh. You were just not seeing anyone do anything like that.
I think the only people like it's Square. Like
only Square
the people doing shit like that, and they were That's another thing that I think belongs to FF7 is like they were doing everything. They're doing everything that they did well in Chrono Trigger and FF6 and whatnot, but they were also doing it for the first time with pre-rendered backgrounds.
Yep.
And instead of like having because they were already rendering stuff, they had a pipeline for that for FF6 and Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Those are renders that they turned into tiles for the Super Nintendo. But now they just have big, gorgeous paintings that are made out of these renders.
Yep.
And you get to walk around them and you get to, they get to change the camera angle and make Cloud get bigger and smaller as he moves around. Mm-hmm. And they play with that so much. Every screen is like this, like lovingly framed image.
Yeah. Like that's so much art. It's so damn much.
And it's so deliberate. Mm-hmm. And it's so, it makes like random dungeons like Mount Nibble, where you're like running across the train tracks.
Yeah.
Up that bridge where you start off very far away and run straight towards the camera.
Oh, that's so good.
You take these parts that would be otherwise completely unremarkable, and it just elevates them so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the little 3D bottles. They're so expressive.
They are.
I love Aeris leaning forward. Like, and putting her hands behind her back.
Oh, it's so cute. The way they were able to get so much emotion and so much, like, emotiveness out of those characters with all of these simple animations. It's just like, you can bring that up to, you know, 800,000 triangle models all you want. And it's just, it's not going to hit the same way, I don't think. It's just, there's a charm. So cute. There's a charm those original models have, and the way that story is told, it just, like, in and of its time, but it's still very timeless.
Mm. And then they even use those to, like, crazy effect. Like, when Cloud starts freaking out at the Temple of Ancients, and they overlay, like, three models on top of each other as they're animating. One of them, like, is flashing. Mm-hmm. It's crazy good direction. It's so cool.
Like, I cannot imagine what it must have felt like to have been creating those things at the time and just seeing these things come to life in this way and knowing it's just like, nobody's done this before. We are really, like, on some king shit here.
It's all just, like indie art game shit.
Yes, absolutely.
Happening in this blockbuster.
Yep.
It is a game that everybody could play and enjoy, basically, but also it's stuffed with like these flourishes that are so smart.
Yep.
It's so cool. I think it was the direction and then all the psychological shit with Cloud.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
so
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. That's great.
I don't think they did anything quite like that in the preceding games. I don't think Terra's identity crisis like comes is quite the same.
No, it doesn't. They were working this like Final Fantasy VII is just a lot of things they were working up to. Yeah. Like with Terra's, you know, identity stuff. Yeah. Like it's retread in VII, but it's more with just like, oh, we have the voice for it now though.
Yeah. Oh, and lastly, I think when you're making roller coaster RPGs where you're wheeling the characters from set piece to set piece, which is how they like to do it. I think you live or die on your act breaks.
Oh yeah.
Because when you don't have a good act break, then it just turns into just mush in your brain.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, you go to this town and then this town and this town. And like most of Final Fantasy IX is mush in my brain.
I played it
very recently and it's, I can't tell you the order that anything happened. I can tell you, like, oh, that character died at the end of disc two, I guess. But FF7,
you can really, like, if you had a gun to your head, you could probably write an outline of how that game flows start to finish.
Yeah, I do think the chunk of the game that is, we're going to chase after Sephiroth, mm-hmm. and we're going to stop at like 8 different places yeah. and have character stories is a little bit inert compared to something like Chrono Trigger.
Sure.
I think it's like, it's like if the Masamune, building the Masamune was like 8 times longer.
Oh God. There's our Chrono Trigger remake where they're going to do that.
So I think that's one angle where FF8's pacing falters a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but the individual episodes are very strong.
Yeah. I like the road trip vibe of that part, but yeah, it does go on maybe a bit too long.
Yeah, it's a little long.
I did Wutai for the first time this game.
Oh, nice.
It's really cute and funny, yeah. but also it just kind of adds one more stop on that road trip. I had never seen Yuffie and Ellen and Elena crucified before by Don Chimeo. I didn't know that there's a part of the game where Don Corneo crucifies Elena and Yuffie, and it gets pushed off a cliff.
Yeah. See, now we're just building up to Xenogears.
There you go.
Spoilers. Don Corneo dies in Final Fantasy VII. I didn't know this. This is my third complete playthrough,
and this is the first time you did Wutai. That's crazy to me.
I don't know. I don't speak for past John and how he played RPGs.
Right.
But if there's a place on the world map, I'm not being exhaustive here. I'm not doing all the chocobo shit or whatnot. But if there's a big glowing dot on the map that I haven't been to yet,
I want to go to it.
Obviously, I should. Why didn't I go to it? That's crazy. But that's like if you're comparing it, the world, the act break in FF6 is really, really strong.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. The act break in Chrono Trigger, both the Magus one and the Ocean Palace mm-hmm. one are really, mm-hmm. really strong. Mm-hmm. Chrono Trigger kills off a major character and then brings them back to life one dungeon later.
Yeah.
FF6 kills off a character who is very cool.
Yeah.
Ellen destroys the world, and that's very cool. And that rules.
Mm-hmm.
FF7
kills a character.
Kills a character you really, really like, and it's really, really unfair, and it doesn't feel good, and you just, it's not like, it's not cathartic like Galuf. Like Galuf gets a big epic
last standing
of the Dawn Warriors.
Yeah. That is absolutely not what happened in 7. It literally, like, that moment, like, in so many pieces of media and certain mm-hmm. a lot of movies that we've watched where it's just like, life is not fair, and death can come at times when... And death will often come at a time when it is least expected, and there is no apology, there's no build-up, there's no grand mm-hmm. there's no grand moment before anything. It's just one second you're here, the next your lights out.
It's... I don't think that's the one more thing here is that all of the Genova and Sephiroth stuff makes like 10 times more sense to me. Like I felt like I picked up most of it on my previous, most of the everything else on my previous playthroughs. But Genova and Sephiroth, I was like, people would explain stuff about, oh, that wasn't actually Sephiroth. That was a piece of Genova mm-hmm. trying to reunite. Mm-hmm. And I'd just be like, okay, if you say so,
mm-hmm.
that must've been in the Ultimania guide.
Yeah.
And like all of it is coming through like so much clearer. It's with like this, I was looking at it through without my glasses on.
With this translation, it sounds like they smoothed a lot of that stuff out. Because that stuff was just terribly translated, and it just led to mm-hmm. so much misinformation over the years mm-hmm. because of how badly it was translated.
Yep. And I feel like FF7, I think, is about as many plates as you can juggle. As you can keep spinning in the air at once, because you got Shinra, you got Sephiroth, you got Genova, you got the Ancients, you got so much shit. You got everything with the life stream. You have it's juggling so much shit, and you have like 17 villains that could individually carry a game. You could make a game about Hojo.
Absolutely,
you can easily make a game where Hojo is the main bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You could easily make a game about Genova. Or Rufus. You could easily make a game where Rufus is the main villain.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I think makes FF7 a very dangerous model to copy, is that both the play language is kind of falling by the wayside a little bit, and it is very complex, and it's a little bit hard to follow some of the stuff, even when the translation is razor sharp. And everybody afterwards wanted to be FF7.
Yeah.
So everybody started like doing all this Ava shit.
Yeah.
And not having the
chops for it. No.
Not having the chops for it.
Yeah.
I feel like trying to be Dragon Quest II and failing is so much more palatable than trying to be Final Fantasy VII and failing.
Because
everybody tried to be Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. If you copy Final Fantasy VII and fail, you've just made drivel.
Because that's it. It's just, that's what happens, is it just turns into mush in your brain, because you're not like, it's not really about exploring the dungeons or even exploring the world. You're on a road trip from set piece to set piece, and when that stuff isn't working, it feels bad. It feels so boring.
Your reaction to some of these dungeons being like one screen long was funny.
That's pretty good.
Oh my god. Yeah. But the thing is, even when the dungeons do get long, it's kind of like, ugh, I don't feel like dealing with, the game's kind of programmed me to be like, I don't want to deal with all this. Can we just get to the end of the glacier, please?
Oh,
it's been like an hour.
Yeah, the glacier. The glacier kind of sucks because it's like very hard to navigate and annoying.
I think if you follow the map, it's not too bad. They have to give you a map. They're like, okay, we have one real maze.
Yeah.
Shit. We can't expect the player to deal with this. that's the other crazy thing, is that they have an amazing act break with Eris, and then like an hour and a half later, you're getting to the top of the crater. You're getting to the crater and set for something meteor.
Yeah, absolutely insane pacing,
and everything's going insane all at once. And then another hour after that, you're getting to all the Nibelheim shit with Tifa and Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how much good shit there is. You don't try to copy this unless you're committed to having a lot of good shit.
For sure.
Well,
for
nowadays, sure. we don't aim as high. We try to copy Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, we just...
Yeah, and they're not good at that either.
Don't nail that either.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the same thing. It's still
it's basically...
it's a string of set pieces. If you're not really on point, if all your dungeons are straight lines, and you're not committed to making that writing land and making that dramatic journey, you don't have the direction to carry it, it's all going to it falls apart like a house of cards. I think so many people would be much better off trying to copy either just a real dungeon crawler, because that has a very clean, clear language that I think a lot of folks can learn. If you want to make a hardcore RPG, you can do that. Or make a visual novel. Write a book.
There you go. Yeah.
Just focus on the story you want to tell instead of trying to... I think FF7 walks a tightrope, and I think it nails it. I think it does a really good job, but that, I don't think people recognize that it's a tightrope when they're trying to copy it.
Right.
Whew. A lot of FF7 thoughts. I haven't even finished it yet.
Yeah. Part two, next episode.
Has Square Remix.
In the middle of the week, I got it while I was like maximum depressed from releasing Windswept Isle. I got searingly mad about people talking to me about the Final Fantasy VII remake every time
you bring it up. Yeah,
this isn't just you, Rhett, or you, Effie. It's a lot of folks. It started to hit my ear like an off key note. Mm. Like,
yeah.
Fuck. Just let me talk about this damn game. I think it's clear from the things that I've praised Final Fantasy VII for, in my general critical ethos, that I don't respect what the remakes are doing.
Aww.
And if there's something to like there, I trust Rhett that there's something to like there. For instance, I pulled like stuff of worth. I pulled stuff that was valuable to me out of very like cynical enterprises before, or things that seem cynical on the surface, but then they have a lot of actual art churning underneath it. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff like that there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just so much there in general that some of
it's going to be good. It is. I am against it. I am against this thing to my spiritual level, down to the Mako making up my being. When I'm in the live stream, my core will still be against everything that the Final Fantasy VII's remakes represent. I don't care.
I love them, but the worst parts are when it goes off script, like easily.
The closer it
stays to the original is when it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
When they add new final bosses or completely screw up that act break.
Uh-huh.
It's really depressing.
I realized this beforehand, which is that if it was its own thing, I wouldn't feel ugly about it at all. Like, if it was just a trilogy of really long open world games, mm-hmm. Of like open world RPGs with like active time fighting, and it's a story about we have to push back against the tides of fate, we have to claim our own destiny. That's Xenoblade. That's literally just Xenoblade. Yeah. And I really love the first Xenoblade, and I'm sure the other two are really lovely too. But because it's Final Fantasy VII, I just find that extremely distasteful. You're taking something that I love that was a very specific moment in time, and turning it and changing everything that I love about it into something else. And everybody around me is eating it up, and it makes me feel alienated. It makes me feel unseen. So I think it's it makes sense to me that folks pull stuff out of it that's valuable. I would be completely on board with that, especially if it was its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's FF7, I just think it's tacky. I think it's tasteless. Aerithyde. That's it.
That's it.
Like, you just have to deal with that because that's life. But yeah, I'm excited to go finish it. I played like 20 hours in a week.
Wow.
I'm having a good time. I really like Final Fantasy VII.
Good stuff.
I like the SNES games more though.
Yeah.
Polly.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me run very long on that one.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. We love things long on this podcast. You know that by now.
I know. We give them platinum medals.
We give them platinum medals, baby. So
what have you been up to, Polly?
Well, truthfully is I've honestly not been up to a lot because my past month or longer has been fraught. Fraught.
Yep.
It's
been rough.
The last month would probably have been a lot better if frotting was involved, or frothing, or frotting, which then of course leads to frothing. I don't know why that fucking tangent happened. But not to get too in the weeds about it. I've had some medical stuff happening over the last month and a half or so, and it's a lot of it's left me not feeling great, not wanting to do a lot, so my segment will probably run a bit short, but hopefully, you know, in the next month or so I'll get back to feeling better. But truth is, I just honestly feel bad all the time, and I'm not getting into too much. But to follow up on John's segment where he released a big video game, John, he powered through and he found the willpower to push through on creating a very big project and its development lasting a number of years and finally seeing that game fully realized and it come to fruition. Very admirable. And I think that's really awesome that you did that, and I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I, however, have chosen the opposite. I have fully embraced the act of just giving the fuck up.
I told you I did this. I did this with a different one. I had two. This was one, and I was dreading going back to the other one after I finished Windswept Isle. And then I realized I just didn't have to.
You don't have to. You can just, like, not do that. You can just not. So I
hit the bricks.
I over the past couple of years, about it was around August, I think it's honestly around August of 2024, I started working on a follow-up to my game Synchronize,
Which, if you don't know Synchronize, it's the weird game where you play two things at once and everybody hates it because it's hard. but I was making a new sort of follow-up that's in that same vein called Synchro Dash, where you sort of... The idea is that you can never stop once you start moving. You can, like, if you let off of the, you know, direction, you'll keep moving just slower. And that instead of controlling two objects at once in this game, you just control one object and can change your color from red to blue. And then all the mechanics we're going to kind of be playing around with that. So, you know, you're blue. You
classic bullet phase like.
Yeah, it's basically a bullet. It's very bullet phase like if you've played Red's
no
game.
No other game is it has like, ever, specifically like bullet phase.
No other game has ever had a color changing mechanic where you will
just
be.
Just kidding. This was obviously a joke about Bullet Maze and how Bullet Phase was right. on that.
Right.
Frothing Demand was on my mind earlier. And then we do this bit.
I was gonna say Outland, which is a really weird and obscure Xbox 360 game.
I played that and was like,
It's very meh. It's like, yeah, wow, you did the thing, and Rhett's game is way better. So, but yeah, like the premise of Synchro Dash is basically the same in that you go around these little mazes and you change color to collect the appropriately colored smileys. And then I had other new gimmicks thrown in, like there were walls that would change color that you had to pass through to get through certain other parts of the maze. None of the levels in what I've released actually have it in, but there's like screen wrapping levels where you go off screen. And it's just like, it's very mind bending and in all the right ways, I think. But I had been working on this game for on and off for about 2 years, and there was a point, and I don't know really specifically where it started, but while working on Synchro Dash, like I've released like 5 or 6 other games. and it's just like, oh, but I like these games because all of these games these new games that I made ended up kind of feeling more like I had kind of refined my game developer voice a lot more. It felt like I was making things more true to me. And so anytime I would come back to throw more work into Synchro Dash, something about it just kept feeling like, I don't know that this is where I'm at anymore, you know? And then I think maybe there was also a part of me that sort of felt like I was trying to redeem Synchronize in some way, even though it's just like... that's not why that Synchro Dash exists, but I do think that there's a part of that in the mix of just like, oh, well, you know, like, this is still along the same thing, but, you know, it's simpler now, but it's still got that same level of difficulty. But after a long... This was like while John was kind of in the middle of his meltdown prior to Windswept Isle. I just sort of kind of like was just like one morning we kind of talked it out. It was just like, and I finally just decided this project isn't where I'm at anymore. And so I decided that rather than just kind of like tucking that away and burying it, I just released what I had made. So if you go to, and it's exclusively on the Polysoft website, so you'd have to go to socksmakepeoplesexy.net/games. But at the top there, you will see a Synchro Dash Unfinished Demo. It contains the first 10 stages of the game. It's got a big write-up on that game's creation. All the behind-the-scenes stuff is there. You can play like the original super-duper alpha version that I had sent to like Rhett and John, where it's just like, there's a gray black background. There's no Zazz in it. But while I felt that it was important to release Synchro Dash in the state that it, you know, as is, because I feel like as creators, we can kind of just get in our head a little too much about finishing a thing. And I feel like it's easy to feel like a failure if you don't. And that was why, like, this project, I just consistently kept not letting this project go, is because, like, well, if I let it go, like, I've failed. And then somewhere in the course of our conversation, I just kind of realized that, like, that's not really true, because I've been stalled out on this game for a long time, but I've still created what I would say are some of my best games while this game was in development. So a part of wanting to put this out as is was just to kind of show creators, like, you aren't a failure if you don't follow through and finish an idea. It's okay if you outgrow an idea, if you're if what you get out of making whatever you make changes, it's okay to kind of just abandon something, because ultimately you still learned something in making that thing. Like, I learned so much in I think Synchro Dash is zazzy as fuck. I love this game's presentation to bits.
100%.
I think it looks great. I think it feels great. And I have since taken everything that I learned in spending 2 years on this game. Like, all of the stuff that I learned making this game is in all of the games that I have made since. So, like, Synchro Dash, while it's not a finished thing, still ended up being a nice little thing in my toolbox as a developer to be able to look back at and still be proud of, because everything that came after it ended up awesome, and it's all awesome because I worked on this. So that's there if you ever want to give it a spin. I think it's a very cool little thing.
I definitely want to check out the current finished, the final version, because I did like the demo you sent us like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I remember, because
I remember playing the demo.
Yeah, you all helped me fine tune a lot of the stuff, like with how that game ultimately ends up feeling. Yeah. Is like y'all kind of like helped me find like the right way for things to feel, and the pacing and level layouts and stuff. So yeah, there's 10 levels there. The last one's a bitch. It's crazy hard.
I don't think I've seen that.
You know, like, and this
I beat OG Synchronized.
Yeah, you beat,
I can handle it.
You beat version 1. Yeah, version 1 Synchronized, man. You want a fucking hard video game that's just like, nope, this is 100% my vision. Fuck your feelings.
Well, Paul,
fuck your feelings edition.
It took me about 3 hours.
Yeah.
If you're good with that, then if you're good to go.
Yeah, that's version 2, so much better.
Hey, sometimes you want it to be 3 hours. It's just you just got to be deliberate about
it. There you go.
And yet you needed to have that response in order to figure out where you wanted to be on the spectrum with that story.
I think so. Like and that's why version 1 is still available as well. It's like I have them both. Like, I'm not going to shy away from the fact that I made that first version and it's not ideal. It's not, you know, it's I like the idea of just putting this out and showing people that just like, look, you know, you are still creative in the end. It's just you had an idea that for some reason you grew out of, and it's okay for that to happen. And it felt good for me to let myself off the hook, because I had just been agonizing about this game for a long time. It's just like, this thing is so cool, though. There's so much I like. Like, at no point have I ever thought, oh, God, I hate this game. Like, no, I think this thing is still cool. And it's just like, and I can't even rule out the possibility that it might get finished someday. It's just...
wait, no.
But it's just right now, it's not where I'm at.
Yeah.
And if it ever does come back, it will likely come back as something else. Like, I don't know that I will start with this as the base if that idea ever comes back. But I just kind of learned, like, it's just like, I don't like iterating on my stuff in that way. Like, even, like if you look at, like, the sequels that I've done, like, Afterward is an entirely different thing than Her Lullaby. ASDF2 is a vastly different thing than, you know, a Planet Attrition Hive Assault.
Completely different.
So it's just, I've learned that, like, if I'm going to iterate on my ideas, I want to do it in ways that, like, aren't predictable. Like, I didn't want to make the ASDF2 that everybody wanted. I didn't want to make...
You're making NES sequels.
Yeah, I am...
a totally different thing.
I am Zelda 2-ing this shit, and I'm proud of it.
You can say it, Polly. You're trying to be like me, making everything wildly different and iconoclastic, a hugely varied dev of 1,000 skill sets, a red mage, a jack of all trades.
Wait, yeah, John,
you admire me and you want to be just like me. I get it.
This is a dangerous thing to say, but John, do any of your games actually have sequels?
Not really. There's Her Lullaby and Afterward.
Yeah, Her Lullaby and Afterward.
Okay, but Polly just said that one.
Yeah.
Here, I made a book sequel.
Yeah,
the
book prequel to Facets. Yeah.
Okay, but like you don't have anything that's a real mechanically different than its predecessor, like ASDF2 or Planet Attrition.
I think a book is pretty mechanically different.
That's pretty mechanically different from a video game, right?
But it's not a game.
still mechanically different.
Okay, who gives a shit?
So yeah, like that one. So yeah, like I released that this week, and it felt like I just got something off of my back game development wise. And then like while I'm doing that, a new cool idea hit me for something else I want to do that's just totally fucking out there.
This one's crazy.
That I'm not gonna start doing anything on it officially until I really feel like I'm in the mindset. But like I've run the idea by both of these two, and it's just like, yeah, this is kind of crazy.
Both of you are devs that I am fans of. I would eagerly play every new thing you put out.
Big same.
Even if we weren't friends.
It's mutual, John. It's mutual.
Thank you very much. Well, not everything.
Well, maybe not everything.
I make some stuff that's not in y'all's wheelhouse. Yeah,
it's
okay.
Fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Like I think I've got it.
I have read for the Soka Boss.
There you go. Instance. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I played a Witch's Tower. I did some block pushing.
There you go. You're the one that fucked with Ken Griffey Jr.'s
Herb. Oh, God. I fucking love that game to death. Dude, that game's so good. Like, like, that is the game that you made where I'm like, I am so fucking mad I didn't make that. Like, because it's just like, that is me. You just made me. You made a me game.
Mm-hmm. And Rhett's super jealous of the short story collection.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, have ideas. Don't be afraid to let go of them. You're still a creative person, and it really made me feel good to like put this out there and have people even still say like, yeah, like this was pretty cool. Like, yeah, it's not finished, but you know the people that I know played it. I can absolutely see how this influenced things going forward. So it's just like, yeah, okay, and that this little thing has done its job, and I'm happy with that, and I'm happy to have the monkey off my back and not have to feel like I failed at something.
There you go. Do you actually have any, like, how many, like, actual, like, outstanding creative projects that you put a lot of work into are still weighing on you?
One. All right. There's a VN. We've put a lot of work into that right now, but it's kind of just stalled for a couple other reasons, but it's going to get done.
Oh, yeah. Excited for that. You haven't done a new VN.
Yeah.
Since we did one.
Yeah, I know. I have a cute little score attacky game that's got a lot of stuff done, but I just kind of need to go back and I need to tighten some stuff up on it. So I think I have two games that are in active development now. Like I said, I've not started working on the one that I ran by you guys already. Sure. I think I've got two outstanding. One is just a matter of like finding a little motivation and some asset, and we got to, you know, commission some assets.
Cool.
And the one that's very active and for pretty far along in development, the little silly score attacker that's dumb as fuck.
Good.
It's, I want to say that's probably about 30 or 40% done. I just kind of need to put into work to kind of bring the rest in. Because once I finish adding like the last couple things I need to, the rest of it just goes really fast. Because it's not a lot I need to do after that. So yeah, two things.
I'm fucking done.
You're done.
Nothing.
All right, here are my thoughts on letting go projects. Finishing things is a skill, and it is a hard skill.
Yes.
It's very hard to... It's very easy to start a creative project and very hard to see it through to the end. Mm-hmm. So there will be times where you feel like you have to force it a little bit to stretch that, to train that muscle. Mm-hmm. If you're stuck, if there's way too much more work left and you have no motivation and you just want to let it go, I think that's fine in rules. I think it's especially fine for you and me, Paulie, because we have, you know, a bunch of finished games under our belt.
We have a ton of games now.
We have that skill set.
So, you know.
If you feel stuck and you don't think you can see a path through to finishing the thing, or you just don't want to, let it go. If you're at the start of your journey, on the next thing, set out to make something smaller than whatever it is you just dropped. Because you're going to think that you have the... You learned so much on that project, so now you can make something even more ambitious. No, because you haven't learned how to finish things.
Yeah, you've got to make it smaller. Finishing things is important.
Yeah. So let it go. That's fine. You don't have to finish your pixel art Metroidvania, but you do need to learn. If you want to be a creative, if you want to make, because the thing is, it's not about any individual game. It's not about any individual story or piece. All of those are just stops on the journey. Like, being an artist to me is about about building an artistic practice, mm-hmm. and not about individual works
there
of art.
You
the
go.
Individual works are just stops on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that journey never finishes.
Yeah.
So that's a clarification I wanted to.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
I think that's good. I think that's a pretty good follow up to everything that I said. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's absolutely good.
I think it's what I said in our conversation.
Yeah, I believe we just rolled back through the log there. Let's check it out.
I can't. I'm staring at my itch page. I cannot fucking believe there's a tiling error.
I'm so happy. You got to keep it. You can't let. You can't.
It's a 3-pixel tile error. It's fine.
You can't.
I looked at the thumbnail. I still don't see it.
It's the edge of the grass.
The grass.
It doesn't go under the diagonal.
Nope.
It doesn't continue under the diagonal.
It's not perfect.
It's not perfect.
Oh, okay.
But what is perfect?
I think that's why fine to me, honestly.
Yeah, there you go.
Not my fucking RPG Maker. Well, the thing is, you can fix that in RPG Maker. You can. I know how to. It's fine.
So yeah.
Who gives a shit?
My lesson for this episode is give up.
Hit the bricks.
Hit the you bricks, kid.
Fuck it, just go to sleep.
Fuck it, just go to sleep.
Go to sleep. Sometimes days, sometimes you have a bad day, and it can't be fixed. Start something new.
On the subject of finishing games, though, I feel like coming from Newgrounds in my past, mm-hmm. we are so exceptionally good compared to 99% of people to have at most one or two. Hey, yeah, I just didn't feel like finishing this one. Here's the demo.
Here's my demo.
Because I think it's funny. I've like two unfinished things. One of them, the bigger one, was another game that had Dash in the title.
Dash in the title.
God, I forgot about that.
Like, literally, like 20 years ago.
Dash is cursed, man.
There was Mike Man Dash, which I just wasn't feeling it after making the first world, and I stopped working on it. And then all those ideas I had for the rest of the game ended up in Hunters, basically.
Yeah. So there Fantastic. You go. See how it works? There you go.
I let go of my NaNoWriMo in 2023. I wrote 50,000 words. It was a story that had a beginning, middle, and end. And I liked it. And I didn't touch it for 2 years. 3 years, really. And 2 years. And then I was just like, this year, I was just like, you know what? Let's just let it go. It's a good lesson for next time.
Brilliant.
But sometimes it does work out, because Bullet Phase for me
was
the game that I feel like that one did kick around for like 4 years or something.
Yeah. You were working
And then I
on
finally
that for a
buckled
while.
The fuck. Actually, you know what I did? I cut the scope in like half at least.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
There was going to be like a whole town that you could walk around.
Oh,
and, like, level
my
portals.
God.
That's funny.
Wow.
So I was just like, no, 64 levels is too fucking much.
Yeah.
We're cutting it down,
cutting
to, 32
it down
or
to 32
or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I added an escape sequence. So it's like it got bigger again right at the end.
I slashed the scope for Windswept Isle several times, mainly by just completely changing the story, because it was originally going to have fighting and dungeons.
Oh God. Oh God.
So I just completely
64 maps.
And it actually was going to have another row of 6 maps. And then I cut out a row.
Crazy.
I'd already done a bunch of fucking mapping, so I couldn't like make it a 5x5 map, which would have dramatically changed the work. But I did hack it down a row, which helped.
Nice.
So it's just 5x6 plus 2.
Mm.
It's 32 maps.
There you
plus
go.
Indoor areas.
So yeah, you can give up. The only other thing I did was I just kind of like over the last month, I've just kind of been living in Rhythm Heaven and Dungeon Crawler land.
Oh fuck yeah.
I've just been like I'm going for them Rainbow
EO4,
Perfect.
EO1.
Yeah. You're going for Rainbow Perfect.
I'm going for it.
Oh my god.
It's insane.
You didn't believe me when I told you.
I didn't
existed.
Think that was a thing. I thought you were just, there's triple perfects. It's like, what? And then what?
What is a triple perfect?
A Rainbow Perfect is literally like Rhythm Heaven, like when you play the mini games, there's definitely a generous window to hit the cues. Mm-hmm. Rainbow Perfects literally pretty much require literal perfect input. And, you know, it's just like, oh, cool, I'm not doing this on my TV then. I'm literally just playing this in handheld mode the whole time.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, you can, I can't. I can barely. I noticed it with Mario Maker. We're, like, trying to play the Switch on. The second it gets docked, it adds so much frame delay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just like, you're not getting those on a TV. You're not getting that kind of perfect in rhythm.
RetroArch has run ahead.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I turned that on for Twinkle Star Sprites, and I noticed a difference.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, this is a little bit snappier.
Yeah, it does.
It feels really nice.
Does not take away the input latency, but the run ahead really does help. And like, if you're used to having really good input and not feeling a lot of input lag, like, the run ahead helps.
Yeah. It's a way to help it feel smoother without having a CRT.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a lot of rhythm heaven groove still. That game is still a delight. I love it to pieces. I finished another playthrough of Etrian Odyssey 4 because, I don't know, it's the best dungeon crawler ever, I guess. And then I played Etrian Odyssey 1 HD right after.
Fuck yeah.
Because I have EO1 HD, but I also had the Untold version laying around, and I was just like, yeah, but I don't want all this damn story clogging up.
I just that fucking story, man.
Man, I just want
to... Give me an honest RPG.
I just want to draw some maps, man. I just want to draw some maps and fight some bosses. So I played EO1 HD again, and now I'm currently near the end of an Undernaught's Labyrinth of Yomi playthrough as well.
Fuck yeah. So... I started EO2 and I got to the end of the first stratum and got my ass kicked. And then I was like, nope, I'm not here.
Not here right now.
I think I had it in my, I think I underestimated how much EO1 drained me. Cause I was like, oh yeah, I crush EO1. This is going to be easy. And I got to the end of the first stratum in EO2 and it kicked my balls in just the same way that EO1 did. And I was like, I can see the path towards getting through this, but it's actually going to be really demanding, and I'm going to be stressed the entire time that I'm doing my skill points wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Early dungeon crawling is scary. The early parts of a dungeon crawler are scary.
A friend was like, I consider EO a sanity draining experience rather than a sanity restoring experience. And I was like, I don't think I've reached the level of Samsara that Polly's at yet. And again, I am on the DS version, so it is extra hard.
The original versions are very, very hard. I know that the HD versions, like, they tweaked the balance a bit.
Sure.
They didn't go overboard. Like, those games kick your fucking teeth in.
I think it's like a 20% damage difference. It's like just enough to make it like...
I don't even think it's 20... Like, I think it's very much specific cases with certain enemies and certain bosses where, like, just certain things were tweaked with their battle scripts or there may be some... I'm not sure. Like,
Are you playing on the default difficulty, Polly?
Yes. I'm not.
I'm pretty sure the default difficulty is.
No. My file is actually on hardcore. Never mind. I am not playing.
All right. Never mind.
I did not play EO 1 HD. Yeah. No. Mine is advanced on advanced difficulty because I remember I actually took a screenshot of my file once and I remember the difficulty being advanced.
I see. Etrian Odyssey 1 HD. All right. Okay. Your hardcore credentials are restored.
They're still.
I was just gonna say, like, it's okay. You've beaten them before. You don't have anything to prove.
Sure. No. Still, I knew that.
Even without. But it turns out you're still a hardcore parkour pro dungeon crawler for life. So
that's me, baby. You know how I roll.
It's not even that you've beaten it before and now you're kind of having a relaxing playthrough. It's like, no, you can actually just relax with these in their original murderous incarnation. I actually like getting my balls stepped in.
Yeah, it feels great. Man, love getting party wiped my first encounter on the second stratum. It feels fantastic.
God, yes. You get it. Boy, I sure haven't wiped a single time in FF7. That's okay. Sometimes you need a real RPG. and sometimes you need an RPG-flavored story game for babies.
There you go.
And that's okay.
But the thing is that, like, replaying Undernauts has made me want to actually go back and explore experiences earlier games like Stranger of Sword City Revisited, because it's more wizardry-like in that there's permadeath. Character builds are not as generous. Like, Undernauts is a game where anybody can play this game and have a pretty chill time, because you can literally respec even in the dungeon. You can literally just redistribute your skill points in the dungeon.
Yeah, that's the level of there's like several axes with dungeon crawlers. It's like, can you respec? Can you just restore from a save at any time and it's okay? And Etrian Odyssey lets you restore from a save at any time, but you can't respec easily.
You can't respec easily. I think you'd lose like 5 levels of a character if you rest them.
It's 10 on the DS
version. Oh, it's 10 on the DS version. Okay, that might be the big difference. Because I did respec a couple of characters when I got Hexer and Ronin available in EO1.
Gotcha. That's nice.
Yeah, losing 10 levels is a bit, that's a bit much, because getting 10 levels in Etrian Odyssey is not easy.
That is, I am at the end of the game, I am in the post game, and I am trying to beat these hardcore hell bosses, and I'm level 80, and I still can't do it, and I need to pull the emergency lever.
Yeah.
That's for.
If you do a full character reset, you get bonus skill points. If you go if you go from 70 to 1, I think you get something like...
Not enough to be worth it.
No, I think it's literally like 6.
So you're a fucking pervert freak.
Yep. Yeah, I am not that kind of pervert freak. Like, as much as I love dungeon crawlers, motherfucker, I am not that person. I have never done in-game content in any dungeon crawler I've played and enjoyed. It just ain't in me. I ain't got that shit. That ain't with me. I ain't where I'm at.
That's the thing, Polly, is like, you get into all these hardcore genres and you make them look fucking fun. You don't, you're not jacking off about how fucking sicko all
there
your
you go.
Are. And I'm not saying that any other friends do that.
No.
I think that everybody's beautiful and perfect. You have a way of making them all seem particularly approachable and just fun video games. And make me almost feel silly for having been afraid of them in the first place.
Well, I appreciate that, because
that's nice.
I always like to be a good ambassador for the things that I enjoy. So
I'm gonna take that beat 'em up journey.
Hell yeah, bud!
Figure out Punisher. I can figure out Punisher, that's the ball game.
Just don't start with Final Fight like so many people do, because
I'm not gonna start with Final Fight.
Final Fight is notorious. Like, that is not a game that you just casually sit down and say, I'm gonna learn to 1cc. It happens.
Does BDH have Final Fight?
It's that is a game where you get a 1cc because it is a Christmas miracle.
The cubes were kind today,
which one day out of an entire month of playing Gradius 3, that is my experience. The cubes managed to not fuck me.
That's the thing. Twinkle Star Sprites, I'm used to routing games where you just have to learn them and then you can kind of execute over and over. Twinkle Star Sprites is more like, get as good as you can and then just kind of hope for the best.
Learn to react.
I had like a good 5 days of like, you know what, let's just put another coin in the machine, in the slot machine, and see if Mevius is going to be nice today.
No.
I had like 6 runs where I got to memory and knocked her down into one more hit and then died and then didn't reproduce it on other lives. And it was just like, I know I'm so close. And when it happened, I was just like, oh, that's it. I did it. And I did yell, like, fuck yeah, or something into the house. But it was nice.
Nice. All right. So that's been my month. Rhett?
Hi.
Hey.
What have you been up to? What have you been up to, our special little guy?
How you doing?
Special little guy.
How you doing? How's our special little boy?
I've been up to way too much.
Uh-oh.
Because So basically, I started by playing like 30 hours of the Granblue Relink DLC, and it's really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's also kind of repetitive, and that is a game that runs at like 12 out of 10 intensity at all times.
Oh yeah, this game never fucking stops.
So I was like, okay, let's dial back a bit. I don't want to spend like all the whole break I had from work playing this one game, because I might be able to. I did a little bit of a short game binge.
Yeah! What? You?
But first, I also watched a few video animated programs.
Did you?
So we're going to do lightning round here. Okay. I'm sorry for doing another one of these. It's not all anime this time, though.
We like lightning rounds. We like short games.
Yeah.
I watched The Amazing Digital Circus.
All right.
How was it?
I really liked it. It's really sharp and well written. And then you hit the last episode, and it's the last episode that I think no one in the fandom is happy with.
Really? I know. The people that I've seen talk about the last episode, this is the one that aired in theaters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody I've talked to said they fucking loved it.
Interesting. I get bad YouTube recommendations. I get bad Reddit recommendations. I see a fandom that is tearing itself apart right now. What? And I want fucking none of it.
Oh, God.
Oh, also, the creator obviously kind of bewildered and stepping back from how popular it became and, answering lore questions on Tumblr because they weren't in the show, which doesn't feel great.
Right.
And then also being like, asks are closed forever.
Oh,
don't
Jesus.
Fucking talk to me anymore.
Holy shit.
So there.
I think they're not thrilled with
the
just
reaction.
How much this blew up. Whereas Glitch, the animation studio, is probably extremely fucking happy because they are on the map now.
Yeah, they've got that Game Oververse, I think, coming out now.
Yeah, so that's the thing. They immediately went on to the next thing, whereas I think the creator might disappear for a bit.
Yeah.
That's just my read this got out of control pretty quickly. Mm. But it's a good show. I got kind of tilted at one part in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was messaging John about it, but it's but I can't actually spoil it. And I have no one to yap about this, too.
I'm actually going to, I actually plan to probably watch this over the next week or
I'm curious. I'm not going to say anything else.
I had avoided it for a while because the first time, when I heard about The Amazing Digital Circus, I thought it was just another one of those, internet things where it's just okay, if you are chronically online, this is, the thing everybody's doing now. But then it was people were like, no, it's genuinely good. And I have a couple of friends who do voice acting in it. So
I didn't realize Sean Shiplock was one of the main guys until after I was done.
It's so awesome.
He's the best character too.
That's awesome. But and then when people were started telling me it's actually really good, I was just okay. I'm when this finishes, I'll binge the whole thing. So now that it's finished, I actually do plan to watch this probably over the next week or so.
Cool.
I had a thought watching the first episode when the main theme kicked in, and then I saw briefly a podcast that said the exact same thing of it has a Toby Fox melody-ish theme to it. And then they say watching this show is like playing a Toby Fox game.
Yep. I looked at it. I took one look. I was like, boy, this is some Deltarune shit.
This is some Deltarune shit for sure. The creator even explicitly said that. Oh, explicitly said that their favorite character is what's his name? The Racky robot in chapter 2.
Spamton?
Yeah, that one.
Spamton is basically in this show as the circus leader.
Okay.
I think you started this right after I posted online. I was like, I don't know what this is. I'm just going to refer to it as the clown fucker show.
The clown fucker show.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of art recently.
All right, gang. We spent 4 minutes on the first thing on my lightning round list. We got to get it. Move along. I rewatched Zombieland Saga Season 2.
Uh-huh.
I liked it more than I did the first time, but I really watched it in preparation for Zombieland Saga, the fucking movie, which ruled.
Good Faces extravaganza.
Lots of good faces. They did the thing that they kind of vaguely hinted at Season 1.
Uh-huh.
This is a crazy movie. It's not even an idle movie at this point. I don't want to spoil it because it's actually really new, and I went into this not spoiling it. But if you're ever thinking, are they going to do the thing? Are they going to pay off what they set up at the end of Season 2? Yes, they do. It's fucking crazy.
Good.
It's a good fucking movie. Okay, on to the games. I played the Lily Trilogy.
Yeah!
Lily's Day Off is cute. It's very, very short, though. Mm-hmm. It's very funny. Lily's Night Off was like kind of an improved, better version, I feel. Mm-hmm. I really like that one. And then it got like kind of sentimental right at the end, and I was like, oh, this game made me feel things. I can't believe it.
It's a good little twist. It's a good little twist. Yeah,
it's a good little twist. But then immediately going into Three Wishes and not having that thread continue at all was like, oh, okay, yeah. Three Wishes was a little bit of a disappointment because the pacing is just not nearly as snappy, manic as the first two.
Yeah, yeah.
I see.
Like, because you're repeating the scenarios over and over, like, to get, because you have to go through, like, the first wish four times to get through.
Yeah.
So it's like the fact that the dialogue just kind of keeps going and going, and like, even just holding Sip, it's just like, oh, the games don't, these don't really get funny until like the second wish. And then by the time you hit the third wish, it's like,
there's not much
more within 10 seconds. Yeah.
The third, like the first wish is too much setup. The second one, you get the absurdity. And then the third one kind of is just like, oh, you don't really get to live in the moment much because
you
it's
don't get to live in those like at all. Maybe like one or two.
Yeah.
I think they did make sprites for like when everyone gets turned into candy.
Yeah, it was cute.
I mean, I feel like living in those for longer would have been a better payoff.
Yeah.
But yeah, but then the final root arc where once you've done everything, it's very good.
Yeah, that's like really, really sweet.
Yeah. So that's a fun trilogy. I'm looking forward to Lily's week off.
Yeah.
But I'm a little worried. It's like, oh, if this is like actual 7 days, it may have the pacing issues.
Yeah, I do believe it is 7 days. Yeah.
Oh, dear. What's the flowchart going to look like?
I have no idea. Like, I don't know how this one's being structured. I just do believe that it does go on a 7 day cycle.
There's 100 endings now.
he's doing the 100 line.
Uchikoshi's co-writing.
Oh, there you go.
His route, it's a little different from all the others.
Just a little bit, but it's also the canon ending.
Yeah, of course. No, one of like two canon endings.
Right. That's gonna be where he's gonna follow up the thread at the end of Lily's Night Off.
Oh yeah. I mean, that game did make me actually end up thinking of Underline by the end, which I didn't see coming.
That's crazy.
Sometimes I make the weirdest connections in my head.
Nah, that's real good.
Okay, so now for some actual really short games. I played Sané Sylphid Breeze. This is the... It's a Kirby game with Toho characters.
All right.
It's about as long as Revenge of Meta Knight. There's only like 7 powers, but there is like a hard mode once you beat it. Like the story continues and you just kind of do the whole level, like, the whole thing again. I thought it was good. It is a little... It's Kirby. It's really breezy, actually. Okay. One thing that I thought was funny, though, is there's a very specific era of characters that appear in it, where it's like, it's got Sané, it's got, you know, her shrine, it's got Aya and Nitori, it's got the two girls from the fighting game of that era. The Iku and the blue hair girl. So it's like, I recognize all these characters, and then I get to the true ending, and it's someone from, like, the marketing game. I'm just like... I don't know who the fuck you are.
I don't know who you are.
I haven't played like the last four. It was just so funny to all of a sudden having this new character that I did not recognize. But that's cute. And then at the end it says like, based on the Toho Project characters. And I'm like, you could have said based on Kirby as well, buddy. Yeah,
buddy, come on.
It plays 100% like Kirby.
That's cool.
I played Tori Saturn.
Oh, so the Tori games are great. I love the Tori games.
This game, so when I first got it, bought it like at release, I played 12 minutes and was like, oh, that's fun. And I beat a few levels and I closed it. And then when I came back, I realized, oh, story mode just doesn't save because this game is that short.
Oh, okay.
So because I am really, really like bad attention span, I never got back to it till now. God. So my Steam time was at 12 minutes. After beating the game, my Steam time is now at 39 minutes.
That's crazy.
So it's really, really short.
That's shorter. That's got to be the shortest Tori game, because the other ones have at least a decent number of levels and stuff. So
there are a decent number. You just go really, really fast.
Yeah, like these games are all of these games are like super short form anyway.
Yeah, this is like Sonic pared down to its like mere essentials, where you're just... dash, like drop dash, run, 90 degree turns everywhere, boost pads everywhere.
Right. Let's go.
The last level, though, made me laugh out loud really hard because it does a full on, I'm going to send you guys a screenshot.
Okay.
Full on like 90s Sega arcade racer throwback all of a sudden.
Oh, that's sick. That's sick.
It's so funny. And then the music in this last level, I'm not sure if it's the actual band or just the singer, but it's Crush 40.
Are like, you kidding
they just,
me?
They go all the way with like making this as obvious as possible what they're doing. So it ends on an incredibly high note for a, you know, less
that
than
is
30-minute game.
So cute.
Exquisite. That's fantastic.
I love the crowd.
They just made it exactly what it should
yeah,
look like.
Yeah, it's you have that aesthetic dialed in perfectly.
Even the little 1999 copyright.
Yep.
Next game I played was Mirage Feathers. This is like another Sega throwback.
Yeah, this
though,
is Space
their
Harrier.
Super Scalers. It's Space Harrier. It's Afterburner. The one I think of the most is Galaxy. Oh God, what's the fuck? I don't know, Sega Galaxy something from the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Galaxy Force 2?
Galaxy Force 2, yeah. This game just instantly hit that nostalgia button, like, to max, but the game itself is really fun. It's really kind of chaotic and hard at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, towards the end when it starts getting into, like, oh, these enemies just have, like, one-hit kill lasers, it's a little bullshit.
All right.
So you're going to be quarter-spamming it. I'm sure there are people who can like one credit this, but holy shit, it seemed a little bit much for me. I think it goes on a little bit too long for a shmup because I thought it was going to be 15 stages and then it's 18, and I'm like,
ooh, that's a bit.
But they're short. Like it's breezy. I think the transition from like level 6, the boss, into level 7 is like fucking masterful. I'm like, this is a 10 out of 10 game in that moment.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I'm definitely going to replay this one again because, you know, it's only like an hour long.
Yeah.
They're working on like story mode part 2.
Yeah.
Right now,
I was wondering, like, should I just like wait and play or should I just go ahead?
I don't know how long it'll be though because the game's already been out for 2 years.
Oh.
They show like a screenshot of like level 1 of the second act.
Oh. Yeah. I'll probably just play it then.
Yeah, you should probably just check it out now. The story is kind of whatever, and then it ends with an obvious, hey, there's going to be more coming later. Because it doesn't really resolve itself, but I had a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And then when I was paring down my list of how many little games I played, this one almost didn't make the list, but then John mentioned it just now. Mm-hmm. I played Line Lith.
Oh, right! Yeah.
Which is like... It's just taking
Witness was
one
good.
Puzzle from The Witness and making a whole like half-hour game out of it. It made me like 2 hours.
It took me an hour and a
something.
Half.
Yeah, it's not that short, but it is definitely like
it's
a one
very
or two
short.
Session game.
It's very short for a rec game.
Yeah, there is definitely like one or two moments of, oh, like the discovery moments, which is really cool.
Yep.
There's also like a developer like... post-mortem on it where you can see like the map as it was evolving.
Oh, neat.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing they mention is The Witness. Like, they don't hide it at all.
I mean, clearly they took their inspiration from The Looker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Looker is where all this started, right?
I wish they had kept some of the more meta stuff that they mentioned in the post-mortem in it. And I wish this game had some sort of ending because there's a counter on the bottom that just says how many puzzles you've completed out of all the puzzles in the game. And when you beat it, it just says like something like 143/143 and it adds, thanks for playing!
Exclamation point.
It's just like, oh, okay.
You know what that is, Rhett? You know what that is? That's a God's honest video game right there.
I
bullshit. God's honest video game. You don't need any shit. Just give me a God's honest video game. That's what I want. And Linelith gave it to me. Linelith gave me just a good old time.
Can we get
that's
this,
all I need.
Can we get this character's game of the year list at the end of the year? I think he needs to come back.
Windswept Isle.
Yeah.
Windswept Isle.
Just
now
a God's honest maze. No puzzles. No fighting. No meta shit. Just a God's honest maze. What more do you fucking need, man?
God, I love this. I love this character.
Playing Final Fantasy VII. It's got all this shit. It's I just want to fight. I want to fight in. I want to walk around a maze and fight monsters. Why? What you getting in the way of all the fine monsters in a maze? Just give me an honest video. An honest.
It's a god video game.
Christ.
Whose dick do I have to suck to get a god's honest video game?
Whose dick do I have to fucking shove up my ass if I want to play a real shmup and not all this fucking rogue shit? Christ almighty. Give me a real video game. All I want is a real video game. Go to the theater and they got all this bullshit. We're like, oh, you gotta watch the TV show before you can watch the movie. Fuck you, man.
Get rid of the
Give me
shit.
Honest movie.
Oh my god,
I
heard people.
Movie for once. Christ.
I heard people talking about their watch list of Marvel stuff before the new Spider-Man, and I'm just like, fuck it.
My brother said, do you want to see The Odyssey? And I realized that I had not seen a Nolan movie since 2012.
Oh my god.
And then he asked if I wanted to see Spider-Man Brave New World, and I realized I hadn't seen a Spider-Man movie since 2012. I was like, sorry, bro. I was very happy to see Obsession with you. I don't want to break my streak here. And if I did, it would probably need to be Oppenheimer.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, okay, Red. So, I didn't mean to.
That's fine. That was fine.
No, that was good.
Hurt my throat a little bit. I got to make some tea.
I'm just, like, I didn't know John could make that sound.
Like, what is that?
Back on the short game. All right. I played Mind Over Magnet. This is the game by Mark Brown of Game Maker's Toolkit.
All right.
The only thing that's really interesting about this game is that he, like, dev-blogged the whole thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I kind of want to go back and watch those now because I opened one of them very recently after having played the game, and the way he's talking, like, and then I redid the final level to make it more exciting, and I'm just like, oh my god, the final level is so fucking nothing. Like, it's just, I'm not trying to be mean, but it is an interesting thing of, like, developing the process of a game that's completely mediocre.
Damn!
The other thing is that because this game is about magnets, it has, you know, polarity switching, mm-hmm. There's one mechanic that is just 100% the same as Bullet Phase.
Oh.
Where in Bullet Phase, you have those fans that only exist if they're the right polarity.
Yeah.
And this has, like, magnets that pull you if they're the right polarity. So you can do the exact same, like, wave hover thing at one point in this game. And I'm just like, well, I love this mechanic because you took it from me.
Like, Game Maker's Toolkit is just like, to me, anytime I ever see that shit cross my eyes, like, how to make the most boring video game possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just.
I've never actually watched any of them.
Because I've never watched them.
I just keep making fun of them.
Yeah, that's me. I've never seen it, but every time I read the description or read the title, it's just like, how to make the most boring milquetoast marketable video game imaginable.
Here's how you can add screen shake to make your mechanics land better if you have more impact. Here's how you can. Oh, did you know that the player, if you want to create a flow state for your player,
oh god, flow state.
Then you need to jack them off at regular intervals.
You don't want to
jack them off too quickly.
John is just coming through with all these new characters.
The first one was Derek. I don't know.
I like
I don't
Derek.
Know if this guy's
I like. I want Derek's game of the year list at the end of the year. Just so
I
you know, that's gonna suck list. If we're gonna do that in the middle of a podcast. So you're gonna want to pre-record that.
Oh god.
I'm making our calendar reminder to
yes.
Derek's game of the year.
Derek's game of the year list. Do you know that, like, we will be announcing game of the year list only in, like, a couple months?
Oh, come on, it's August. I can't think about that yet.
It's way too early for that shit.
I know.
This is fucking Christmas in July shit, Polly.
But it's,
let us be.
But it's always fun to remind people of time, because that's just what we do on this show. Like, time comes up a lot.
Stop.
No, we're never stopping. It's Falcom's always going to get a shout out on this podcast. See, there you go. We hadn't had one yet. I just called him out. Falcom mentioned.
So back on that short game grind.
Back on that short game grind.
Piece.
Galgun double piece.
Oh, Galgun.
This was so disappointing.
No! This is not what I wanted to hear.
I think this is... I don't know if this is actually the second or third Galgun game, because they were weird about, like, Galgun double piece, and then the sequel to that was Galgun 2.
Yeah.
But this has the characters from that Metroidvania Polly and I really
liked.
Yeah, not even Metroidvania, just action Castlevania.
Just an
game.
Action Castlevania game, yeah.
Yeah. It's just... So I wanted to see where they started from. I wanted to date them.
Yes! Yes!
I really liked the first arc. It just is like, wow, this game's way more unhinged than I thought it would be. Because it's like, the railgun shooter sequences are kind of whatever, but like, the custom stuff they do with the characters you selected for that arc was very interesting, I guess, to say the least.
Yeah.
And then I play the second arc, and it starts really good. She falls into a glue trap, as one does.
I mean, as, you know, you're not...
Just to give you the kind of the level of flowing in this game. And then, like, everything else is just repeated from the first arc, and you're like,
So there's, like, one unique thing per route?
Kind of. I guess that's true, because then after beating the first two arcs where, you know, you pick either of the sisters, also they're sisters.
That's good.
So you have to beat those two arcs to unlock the I want to date both of them arc, which is the obvious end goal.
Of course.
That arc is like the least interesting one drama wise. It's the least interesting one like mechanically because it's just the same bits over again. It's like the same two bosses repeated, and it's just like, oh, this was just like wasting my time for like 2 hours.
Damn it.
I
was really excited for this.
It's really frustrating when it's like they know you've played the two arcs before this and they just don't have any new content. I'm just like expecting there to be some sort of story reveal or gameplay thing at the end, and then
better horny content.
Yeah.
Also, the PC
with a glue trap, that's rough.
The PC version is also kind of busted.
Oh yeah.
Like there's some controls where the mouse controls just are weird.
Oh yeah.
There's like layering issues with like the meters, which caused me to like think a gauge was full.
Oh yeah, I had that issue when I played the first couple of chapters where I was just like, I'm doing what the game's telling me, but I don't think it's feeding back right.
It's weird. Even the last boss hit health bar like doesn't go down until you're at like 70%, and then it works.
Oh, that's
it's just super weird. But this caused me to not get the true ending with the two sisters, and I was so like,
I'd be mad.
Yeah. So I actually was actually okay with the ending I got, where like basically they both orgasm and fall to the ground,
and the
player character is like, I'm not satisfied with that. I want everyone. I unlock true harem roots. And then I watched the actual true ending. It's like, oh no, he loves the sisters. He's satisfied with just those two. I thought I got a very appropriate ending for myself.
Yeah, I think that's very, yeah.
So the game breaking was kind of like, yeah, that's fine.
That's a blessing in disguise.
But you don't get an achievement for that one.
Yeah, who cares?
So goes.
And then I played B-side, the perfect follow-up.
I think that the thing with Galgun is like, there's a little piece of me that really wants some kind of Cheesecake series era. Like,
yeah.
I can play porn, I can play R18 games all day, but there's something specific about like a Cheesecake, like etchy.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, etchy. Like etchy is an art.
Yeah, I played a chunk of Dead or Alive 5 at an arcade, and I was like, I'm kind of titillated by this, actually.
Titillated.
Yes. So to speak. And Red shared a thing from a Senran Kagura pinball game, and I thought, this looks so fucking funny.
Yeah, the Senran Kagura shit looks so unhinged.
It looks unhinged, and I love the artist
already.
Looking
for way more than Galgun is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love that artist already because he did a Venicle.
Oh, right, yeah.
The thing about Senran Kagura is that there's like three or four spinoffs, so there may be too many of them for you to bother with.
I can pick one.
Maybe they'll have a bundle sale on Steam at some point.
I found the one already where I like Googled like Reddit best Senran Kagura and then read the responses and considered my options and then found the one on Steam and wishlisted it.
So
maybe something there. I forget. I just know I don't know which one I picked. I just know I did the work to make a pick.
Okay.
I trust past John. Past John's judgment.
When has he ever been wrong?
Here, I'll share. You wanted to look at it yourself. I missed the subtext there. All right, go ahead, Rhett.
I played Me Side, another game about cute 3D anime girls. I think it's good. I had a good time with it. It's just, it is a roller coaster of shit happening.
Yeah.
It's not so much of a gameplay focus that, like, there's very kind of shallow mini games in it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really ever get the sense. This is just me being really pedantic, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
I never really got the sense of that you were actually going through earlier versions of the same game.
Oh.
Because Mita herself has such wild changes.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't really make sense for them to be different stages of development where, oh, now she's sleepy and she needs coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's a little kid. And now she has glasses. Well, maybe that one is realistic.
That was pretty real. But, like,
sometimes I see, like, developer, like, early concept arts of a character, and they look, like, 100% different than the final version.
Yeah, like that could have been maybe... But I agree. I can see what you're going for there. Yeah, totally.
Because at the very end, there's, like, a Mita that's, like... I think they call her Ugly Mita.
Ugly Mita.
Where it's, like, it is actually, like, kind of a really rough, like, mannequin-looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we haven't made her cute yet. This is just dev art.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That one actually made sense to me.
There could have been a little more of that kind of stuff in there. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. But it is a fun roller coaster. I feel like they mixed the entire game really quietly to make a jump scare at the end work.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, holy shit, I've seen, like, fragments of LPs of this game.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this was coming in, like, the depths of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it happened, I was completely fucking caught off guard. Mita just, like, gets behind you and slams the wall.
Oh.
And it sounded, because I had the game volume up, it sounded like a fucking gunshot went off in my room. I fucking jumped.
It's so good. It's so good.
And then
good.
There's another one where she kills somebody, and it's like, that also got me.
That's real so, fucked like, up.
Two of the jump scares really got me. I'm like, holy fucking shit.
I love the visual novel gag.
That part's really cute.
That is...
Yeah, but again, it's a good gag that also makes no sense in context of earlier version of the game.
Sure,
yeah. They definitely had fun with it.
Yeah. Like, that game to me was just a super fun little roller coaster that just, like... It was a genre that, like, I'm not really, you know, your market for, like, the anime or the first person like horror game. So when you throw a cute anime girl in it, it's like, oh, okay, now you got me. Let's play it. Okay. I'm going to say this is the best one because it's the one I played.
There's one other part I wanted to mention. Oh yeah. So then I beat it and I went back into the requirements for the second ending where you choose to live with Mita.
Yeah.
And the fact that this is like 2 years after the game came out and it still hits you with the title screen that says like peaceful mode is still being worked on.
Yeah.
Coming soon. I was like, come on.
I think that's just going to be like the life sim like that you sort of play at the start.
But
like, I get it. It's just like, I don't know that that's ever going to get finished.
I was just a little surprised to see that like a still work in progress message in the game.
And I'm over like, here feeling guilty that I didn't finish the fucking map.
Oh, just release a game unfinished. It's fine. Everybody does it.
They don't need those six extra maps.
Okay, I have three more. I'm sorry. I played a lot of games.
Keep going. I went for like fucking hour.
I played Westerado Double Barreled.
Oh, right, yeah.
This is a game I saw Giant Bomb play
back
in 2013.
Yeah, this is a while ago.
The Gunstar era.
Yep.
It's like a totally different life ago at this point.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that looks interesting. I'll play it someday. And then I didn't even buy it on Steam, though. I kept it in the back of my mind. And at some point, they did a re-release in 2015. Like, oh, the map is bigger now, which I think might actually make the game worse. But
right.
And then I probably ended up with it from a bundle or something, but I still never played it. Decade passes. Finally played it. It's neat. It's the whole kind of thing is that you're trying to find the killer. And as you go, you kind of piece information about them together. Like on the main menu, there's like a profile sketch, and it's basically hitting random on a character generator over and over every frame.
Yeah.
But as you learn information about them, like, he's got a really wide hat. Like, that That'll fill in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, so by the end, I was like, okay, he's got a really wide hat, a red bandana, a gray jacket, but I'm not sure what shade of gray. So that's still kind of alternating in the profile sketch between like light gray, dark gray, and such.
Mm-hmm.
He's got blue pants. He's got a belt buckle that's this color. So like the sketch is mostly locked in.
Yeah.
But the whole time I'm kind of thinking, well, he's not just going to be walking around town. There's probably some cave or like a master lair. I've got to keep exploring the map and doing, finding him. And then finally, I'm just walking through town. I'm running out of quests to do. And I just see a dude. I go, hey.
Hey.
That's him.
Did you press the pull gun button?
So I go up, and like every NPC the whole game, you've been able to pull the gun on them or just say, it was you.
Yeah.
And I click the dialogue option, it was you. And then I pull the gun out, and he's like, are you sure you want to do this? And I pull the trigger, and it's like, good job, you guessed correctly.
Fuck yeah.
Those were his dying words.
Well, there is more after that. You don't actually one-shot kill him. I kind of wish you did, but there is a like a whole endgame last boss sequence.
Gotcha.
But the fact that it actually was just triggered by a random character walking around the town, I'm like, okay, game, you kept your promise. Yeah, I didn't think you would.
That's really cool.
So, next short game, I played... The next two are wild. I played Sonic Megamix Mania. This is... So Sonic Megamix was a fan mod of Sonic the Hedgehog 1.
Oh, yeah! Made in, like,
the mid-2000s.
Yeah, I played that one.
You played it.
I played Sonic, I played Sonic Megamix, yeah.
That's funny, because the saga of this one is just so crazy, because one of the lead developers on that was Stealth, who went on to actually make Sonic Mania.
Yeah, yeah.
But so the mod eventually just kind of fell by the wayside. It's like version 4B or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it never got finished.
No.
So now like another like 10 years later, a group of fans said, we're going to remake Sonic Megamix in Sonic Mania.
In Sonic Mania.
Like just full Ouroboros snaky self-circle. But like all the art is new. I think all the level designs are actually new. But this mod also just includes like a remake of like it has like new mode and original mod mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's two totally different sets of six worlds in this game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I played through the new one, which has like the very shiny graphics. And cool. It's just a good solid Sonic game that's about an hour long, like you'd kind of want it to be.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
The bosses are kind of bad, I mean, unfortunately.
It's a Sonic game.
It's a Sonic Mania game.
Yeah, it's like Sonic Mania's bosses are pretty garbo.
Because like the first couple I was like, oh, that's just kind of a bad boss. And then the last couple were like, oh, that's just a Sonic Mania boss.
Yeah.
Of all the ones to keep, the Oil Ocean the oil one, like, really?
Oh, come on.
But I had a good time. But yeah, the bosses were like, a little puzzling. I think the last boss actually is just like kind of a remix of the Sonic 1 final boss with the pistons, crushers. Which is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a good time with that. There's also like a lot of playable characters. There's Sonic. You know, there's the main cast. There's also Shadow, who has a double jump. Amy has like this whole expressive moveset with the hammer, which is kind of crazy.
Oh, it's sick.
So, yeah, it's a very cool mod. I saw there's a like 100% playthrough video on YouTube where somebody just did everything possible and it's 8 hours long. Like, that's pretty beefy for a Sonic fan game that's free.
That's crazy.
And then finally, I beat this last night, Metroid Prime Origins.
What?
This just came out like probably less than a week ago. This is a full 8-bit remake of Metroid Prime.
What?
Somebody actually did it finally?
Apparently there was another one that got DMCA'd. So for this one,
okay. Just so you know, the one that got DMCA'd was one that was started in like 2005.
Yeah.
And then they pecked at it and did very little for like 18 years. And then they like said something like, okay, they did some kind of trailer or some little update, and then it got DMCA'd, and then everyone was like, oh, damn, this cool-looking Metroid Prime 2 2D thing got DMCA'd. It was never going to happen.
No.
It was ongoing for
18 plus years. Uh-huh. Yeah. It wasn't going to happen. Don't mourn that one.
No.
Okay. But I think people were mourning that one because the sprite art probably looked better. But the fact that this one uses kind of Metroid 1 as its base is what got me, like, extremely interested. And I'm like, I have to play this right now.
Right.
I'm in my short game era. I'll just play it. I really, really enjoyed this one. I don't know Metroid Prime super well, so I got lost as fuck a lot because the design of that game is such that
you're
backtracking a lot because it's not super big. But I guess when you make that game 2D and kind of compress everything, it's still not very long. It's not very long.
No.
Because my playthrough was 4 hours long with a ton of, like, getting lost and most items. Mm-hmm. I saw a video of somebody probably just playing casually, did it in 2 hours, just kind of probably because they knew Metroid Prime
more. Yeah. Pass that along to me. I want to play that.
Yeah. I think it's a little dry towards the start. Chozo Ruins isn't the most compelling area. I think it just gets better and better as you go along, though.
Cool.
Like, it feels very good. Like, it's a good floaty Samus.
And it's not. Yeah, like, because
that's nice.
Because Samus has been not very floaty for a long time.
It's like, not she's fucking fusion on.
Yeah.
No. Samus. It's not other M, like, uncontrollably fast Samus.
Zero Mission Samus is just, like, literally no gravity. Or just literally all gravity.
It's probably a little faster than original Metroid, but it's definitely in that ballpark of, like, super, basically.
Yeah.
The ending sequence goes really hard, which
I need it. I need it. I want it. I need it.
Yeah. This was a fun time. And I guess that's it.
Holy shit.
Oh, this looks pretty, though.
Yes, it does.
As soon as I saw the trailer, I'm like, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. The trailer has been taken down.
Oh, no. Okay. One last thing about this game. There's a kind of a subtle middle finger to Nintendo in this, because you know what they do in the end credits?
Mm-hmm.
They put the full mod credits.
Yeah.
It's like, it's crazy how long the credits are for a mod when it's got like 20 sprite artists.
Right, yeah.
But then after that, original Metroid Prime development team credits.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something Nintendo doesn't fucking Nintendo do in their doesn't games fucking anymore. Do,
yeah.
Donkey Kong, they just go, oh yeah, credits to the original developers of, you know.
Gross.
Yeah,
like not Metroid a fan Prime of that. Remastered, credits to the original development team. Like, they just ignore who made the games originally. They only credit, like, the remastered games.
Yeah, that's gross.
So the fact that this has the full Metroid Prime 1 credits in there as well, like, obviously it should.
So cool.
It's such a weird thing. It's like they remake every single room, it feels like. But, like, extremely compressed 2D versions.
Very cool. Mm.
The one thing I didn't like is that the map doesn't connect, like, in a flat 2D plane, which kind of makes sense given the source material.
Yeah, I can see that.
But, yeah, so it can be kind of hard to figure out where the fuck you're supposed to go. Also, sorry, I keep going on.
Go for it.
It defaults to remix mode, which is just, you don't have to get all the fucking artifacts now.
Okay, good.
Which is a good compromise. The artifacts give you, like, Aeon perks, which are like, you know, shoot faster, homing attacks. Like,
yeah, that's a smart way to handle that.
Yeah, but the actual ending requirement is just beat the three main bosses.
Yeah, like there is incentive to get the artifacts, which there really wasn't in the original.
Yeah. And also, I got like 8 of them or something. Like, they're still easier to find than they are in the original. They're just kind of out there.
Yeah. That's cool.
You don't need the Phazon suit to do it fucking anything. Yeah, I had a really good time. Metroid Prime Origins. I'm sure the link is still up on Reddit, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. No, I just downloaded it.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Just send it to me later.
Yeah. And that's it.
Wow, we did it. Look at that. This episode was just jam-packed with so much cool shit. I can't believe it. We did it again, folks. Like, what other podcast are you listening to? They are not as interesting as us. They're not doing it like we do. They didn't get on our level. There's a reason we have a mansion, bitch.
I 100% agree. And I think that all the other podcasters should feel ashamed that they're not on our
level. They really should. They really should. Yep. Like, I would normally not be the kind of person to shame people, but I will absolutely pod shame in this instance because I know what we have.
If they're any good, why aren't I listening to? Why am I not listening to them?
There you go. John, where can the fine folks on the internet find you?
FarawayTimes.com, FarawayTimes.itch.io. Go play Windswept Isle. It's really good. I bitched about the dev cycle here, but if you like walk around games with cute interactions and navigation puzzles, like I think it, like figuring out cool navigation, I think it's a really, really sharp one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very pleased with it.
Awesome.
And the story's cute. Yeah. And it's gay.
It's gay.
I think it's very pleasantly gay. That's a selling point, I think.
Pleasantly gay. That's one of the bullet points on the page. It's pleasantly gay. Rhett.
Rhett.bsky.social, but I don't really post.
He doesn't post. You gotta go to the other place to find the sad posting. You gotta go to like Mastodon.
The nonstop.
Yeah.
Retweeting posting.
And you can find me at socksmakepeoplesexy.net/games. Go check out Synchro Dash. Let me know what you thought. Say, hey, wow, you're a bum for not finishing that.
that would be such an annoying follow up.
That kind of would be, wouldn't it? Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. We will talk to you guys next time. Hopefully, like, by the next time, you know, I'll be better, and it won't take us as long to get another one out. But life happens sometimes. Anyway, please remember that we are the podcast that loves you. We are the only ones that love you.